1600 KUBA, 635. It is Tuesday morning, and we're proud to have on the phone Mr. Gary Zuercher, who is responsible for a book entitled The Glow of Paris, The Bridges of Paris at Night. I understand this is filled with beautiful photographs of the bridges in Paris, France, and also a narrative about some of the history of the bridges. Good morning, Mr. Zuercher.
Good morning, Mo. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in today. What's the weather like today in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely ugly. It's raining. It's cold. It's not very nice.
Okay. Not good flying weather, I guess, right?
Not good flying weather. That's
okay.
Correct.
So this book, I know you're a pilot. And did you come up with the idea for the book while flying, or did you actually take a plane after you decided to do the book, or how did that work out?
Well, actually, I live part-time in Paris. My wife is French, and I've been shooting photography professionally for 40 years. I was shooting one night in the city, shooting black-and-white photos, and took a photo of one of the bridges. I made a mistake taking that photo and greatly overexposed it. Anyhow, I developed the film, and what I ended up with was a negative that gave me a photograph that just took my breath away. So from that mistake, I decided, well, why don't I just shoot all of the bridges at night and try and make a project out of it? So that's how the whole thing came to pass in the beginning.
Okay. And there's some amazing history about these bridges that a lot of us aren't aware of. Do you have a few minutes to share some of that?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Be happy to. The bridges, the history of the bridges of Paris started before the birth of Christ. It's first described in the chronicles of the Gallic Wars by Julius Caesar in 52 B.C. From there's not a lot of recorded history up to the Middle Ages. And then the first bridge that is still remaining was built in 1607 by Henry IV. And the most recent bridge was built in 2006. It's called the Passerelle Simone de Beauvoir. And it's a footbridge. There's some interesting things that have happened on the bridges, if you'd like to hear some of them.
I sure would, yes.
In July 1943, a young woman, 19 years old, named Madeleine Riffo, went onto the Passerelle Solferino. And it was just after the Allies had landed at Normandy, and the resistance in France was getting stronger all the time. She went onto the Passerelle, took a pistol, shot a young Nazi lieutenant in the head and killed him. She was arrested and sentenced to death. About 2 months later, she was exchanged and set free in a prisoner exchange. She went on then to report on the Vietnam War and the Algerian War, and a couple months ago, she just had her 92nd birthday.
Whoa. Okay. Well, congratulations to her on that. That's pretty remarkable.
It is, yeah. During the early days, the bridges had houses built on them. The concept was that the weight of the houses increased the durability of the bridges. That was later proved false. But one other funny thing not really funny, but an interesting aspect of the history is that one time a woman had lost her son to a drowning in the Seine River. And superstition was that if she put a piece of bread and a candle into a bowl and put it onto the river, it would float and come to rest and stop over the point where her son's body was located. So she did this. It floated downstream and came to rest against a boat that was filled with hay. The boat caught on fire. The men on the shore released it from its mooring point because there were other boats right there. It floated downstream, it hit the Petit Pont, and caught the bridge on fire. The bridge collapsed, 28 people lost their lives, all because of this woman's superstition. So there's a lot of little anecdotes all through the history of the bridges.
Yeah, and you have how many photographs in this book?
84.
84, and do you have little stories like that underneath each photograph?
Yeah, there's lots of little stories. There's a history for every one of the 35 bridges.
Okay, so... Are you also responsible for the writing as well as the photography in the book?
Yeah, I did both. When I started to do the project of photographing, I expected it would take the better part of a year. And in reality, it ended up taking 5 years before I had the photographing finish. And then it took a year for the research into the history and the writing.
Okay. So did your wife travel with you when you were taking the photographs?
No. She stayed at home in the warm of the apartment when I went out in the cold at night.
Okay. Now, does she must support the book, though. She must say, well, this is great work you're doing. Or did she say, you spend too much time away from home?
Oh, no, she was very supportive. And as a matter of fact, I dedicated the book to her.
Okay. Well, I really look forward to reading the book. Now, you also, you have quite a history prior to working on this book. You developed something that made water parks possible, or maybe I'm getting that wrong. What's the story about?
No, you're right. It was back in the, I hate to say how long ago it was, back in the mid to late 70s that we developed wave-making machinery, which didn't exist up until that time. And we put the wave-making machinery into swimming pools, and the first real successful venture was in Orlando, Florida, an operation called Wet n' Wild. We put the wave pool in there. But that led to the development of water parks, and we put wave pools into over 150 wave pools in those early years. So that was kind of the onset of the water park development and industry.
Okay, well, quite a successful career, and now hopefully this book has the book been released?
The publication date is January 15th, but the book is available in advance purchase on my website now.
Okay, and what is your website?
It's my initials, glz.com, and the way you can remember that is if you say to yourself, "Good luck, zebra." GLZ.com, you can
well,
remember it.
I do say that quite frequently, actually. Well, we're talking with Gary Zuercher, the author of the and photographer for The Glow of Paris, The Bridges of Paris at Night. And it's also available in other places, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the normal places.
Okay. And we have a local bookstore, which is unusual these days, but it's called Gotta Love Books, and if they don't have the book, they can order it for you.
They certainly can.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the book?
No, I just I did the book because I discovered something that was of such beauty, the bridges at night, that it just seemed like it needed to be shared with people who haven't seen it.
Okay, and it is 208 pages, and it sounds very, very interesting. Well, Gary Zuercher, I really appreciate you taking the time to call us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mo.
Okay, bye.